Cubberty on 2FM with Super Value Travel Insurance. Holidaying at home or abroad? Don't worry about a thing with Great Value Travel Insurance at supervalue.ie.
The first time you saw Star, that moment when you said to yourself, they're going to be huge, and it turns out you were right. And it's not on X Factor or The Voice, it's on in the cut and thrust of real showbiz, and unexpectedly a star walks onto your screen or resonates from your radio. These are the moments we're talking about now with Stephen Byrne. Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning. Thanks for having me in.
Very good. We're talking about what exactly, it's that sort of whoa factor, isn't
it? It was what Simon Cowell would call the X Factor, but I guess ironically, I was watching the X Factor the other day and it's all there. I was actually, because I just been watching this documentary, Carl Sagan documentary, and then all of a sudden switched to the X Factor and like talking about how big the universe is, how incredible it is, and then just going back to this and going, oh God, what are we doing with
the
world?
It's the thing that you can't even put
your finger on. It's a little bit of confidence, a ton of talent, but just that thing that says nobody else could be doing this right now. That's one person who's maybe striking something in a moment that came from nowhere.
Yeah.
Just absolutely came from nowhere.
The internet, of course, throws up such characters and creatures, it's probably a lot easier to be heard in some ways.
It is, because before, I guess years ago, it always would have been quite produced. So it was like people would, through television, radio, all that sort of stuff, put someone out and say, you know, this could be the moment they could do this. But people are putting stuff up online now, obviously, and they're becoming stars, thinking that, oh, I just throw it up online, didn't know anything was going to happen with that. And then all of a sudden they're thrust onto a world stage for maybe 15 minutes or maybe for a little bit longer than that. Like the Justin Bieber's kind of, I guess, the biggest case of that, where people would have seen him when he was about 12 years old and gone, okay, this guy's talented.
Yes.
He can play absolutely every instrument and his voice is incredible. Might have gone the different way that people might have hoped, but but that was a moment. I remember watching his videos when he was probably about 12 years old. I was probably about 17 or something like that, and just the first time I saw his videos I was like, wow, he is going to be a star. Something's going to happen. The same with Ariana Grande as well. She's kind of blown up now, and she was a YouTuber, so she was just putting, she was another one,
and
just in her bedroom putting up videos,
and then it's somebody picks her up and then she becomes produced. But it's that moment
is with the internet, people are just looking for those sort of people all the time, because everybody wants to be that person who gets, everybody's seeking to get favourites or likes or whatever on their social media for whatever reason, that instant gratification.
Everyone wants to be loved.
Everybody just wants to be loved, and everybody wants their opinion to be loved. And if it's something like that where someone's sharing on Facebook and going, oh, look at this, everybody wants to be the first person to share that. They want to say, you know, I introduced everybody to the Beatles. That was me.
Yeah, of course. That thing. What about the much bigger game of finding people before they are famous and calling it early and getting in there first, saying, I spotted that ages ago.
Have you? Is there anybody that you can remember that...
Well, we got the stripes on the toy show.
I was going to mention that, because I remember seeing them. It was 2010, wasn't it?
Yeah, I remember seeing them in the audition. We were looking at them, and I liked them because they were Beatley. They did a, I saw her standing there. And I liked the look, you know. And on it went, obviously. But they just had something. It was the look. They were tight. They were different to the usual kid and band. And they just had something about them, yeah.
And could you feel it in the room? Like, you were just like, okay, this is going to be big. Because obviously, 5-album deal, top 5 UK... Top 10 in Japan, I think they've got as well, or something like that.
Yeah, you did know. You just simply did know that this could be. You didn't know, but you had a good idea.
And there was something about even the way they performed, I think, that night that said... It was like, it didn't feel like karaoke, and it didn't feel like they were in a talent competition. It was like, if you didn't know that song, that was their song.
Yeah, exactly. And it didn't have stage school either about it. It was kind of quite raw.
I've actually brought along a clip of that performance.
Okay, of that very one.
Yeah.
Okay, let's have a listen to that. Here are the stripes on the Late Late Show 5,000 years ago. So there you go. That's the sound they were. It's kind of rough and not very ready, but when you were there, you knew.
And I'd say over the years as well, you've probably, through their multiple performances on the show, have you seen that kind of growth as well?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
And even their style. I love their style. I wish if I was a kid, I keep saying to my girls, if I was a kid, I'd love to be in the Stripes, because I like the mod gear and the look and the whole lot and the tunes.
They're so clever with that, because I saw they were on Darren Kennedy's show Trending last week. Yeah, and they said something along the lines of, you know, we knew from the start we had to wear clothes that would would yeah. say this is, we had to brand ourselves and say this is what we look like.
Yeah.
And that's just a great, I guess, just intelligence for that age. Like, I don't know, great maturity and stuff that they had quite early on to say, yeah, we know what we're doing here.
And they're surrounded by good heads, wise counsel as well. I think the Rebirth of Cool, is that the name of the shop?
Yeah.
That's where they get their stuff.
Everything.
Pretty good. Yeah, yeah. They just go in there and go, one of everything. Thanks very much indeed.
It's the same with Hosier as well. I mean, like last year, I think you had one late last September or something like that.
No, I'll tell you what happened with Hosier, Stephen, was that we did an on-broadcast charity late special for the ISPCC a couple of years ago, or a year ago or something like that. And we just needed an act to do a song for us. Mm-hmm. And because the lady who runs the ISPCC also looks after Hosier, she said, I have this guy, he can just sing a song for us. You know,
really?
just for by the by. And this guy came in and he had the beard and the hair, and I, as I always do before a show, I'd go up and say hello, and I said hello. And thought nothing of it other than I'll introduce him later on. And I called him Hosier, Hosier. I didn't know, you know, at that stage. And he sang this song, Take Me to Church. And as he was singing it, I said to the audience afterwards, because it was much more relaxed than the usual late show, so I could be a bit more myself, a bit more banter. And I said, did you ever hear a song that is so good on your first listen, which that was, mm-hmm. you feel you've known it all your life?
Yeah.
And the audience nodded in unison saying, yeah, that's one of those. That was one of those. And
It was the type of song that would just send chills down your back. You're just kind of like, whoa.
Right, that's exactly it.
And obviously the voice as well and all that sort of stuff. But I remember that was Electric Picnic last year.
Yeah.
That was kind of when I first came across him. And I had a few friends who kind of knew him for a few years and stuff like that. And they were all saying, so I was just kind of like, oh, because a couple of my friends being musicians, so they talk about their friends all the time. And I'd be like, oh, like, go check it out. Oh, probably another one. Like, I'm just like, oh no, I'm going to stay back at the campsite. And everybody then the next day was just talking about him in this performance in the Little Big Tent. And he was playing at 12:30, like in the afternoon. He was the first act on last year at Electric Picnic. And then a year on, he's now playing. I think he got the biggest crowd out of anybody.
So they say, yeah.
Yeah. And now, next week he's playing a Victoria's Secret show with Taylor Swift. So it's
like, where did it all go wrong for Hosier?
What happened?
Sports wise, who, you know, you can see, we saw Brian O'Driscoll, didn't we, in the rugby. Yeah. And then in soccer, you see stars come out. They just come out on their first inaugural appearance. And you just go, whoa, even the way they run or the way they, you know, kick a ball or whatever they're doing.
One I would remember completely is Wayne Rooney, just because obviously he's gone on to do so many things. I think he's picking up his 100th cap this week for the UK. But then on top of that, he started when he was 16 years old. Like, he was put out into the biggest league in the entire world with hundreds of millions of people watching in a game that Arsenal basically had been on a 30-game unbeaten run. And the 16-year-old came from nowhere and just scored an incredible goal in the last minute to end that and become the youngest ever goal scorer in the Premier League. And from that moment, people were like, this guy's going to be worth millions, this guy's going to make millions, this guy's going to win trophies. And that's what he's done for Manchester United, obviously, after leaving Everton to go there. And I think he's pretty much won everything in the game except for the World Cup, but England are never going to win the World Cup, so he might as well retire now.
That'll upset the five English people listening, but you're right. And of course, then the people like Wayne Rooney then go on to gain this notoriety off pitch as well, as we know. Grab a granny and everything, and so with that in mind, that's part of the story, isn't it? It's that these people have this thing that you're intrigued, you want to know more than just the guy kicking a ball.
Exactly. And when someone comes into the world, into your kind of I guess radar that early when they're 16, you know, he's got a career that's going to last 20 years. Yes. So we're going to people are obviously going to want to find out what's behind all of that and all that. And people, what do you think about footballers in general in terms of earning money? Do you think they earn too much money?
I laugh because I think that if the markets are suggesting that's what they get paid, that's what they get paid.
That's what I think too. Ronaldo, he is selling millions of jerseys all across the world. He's making loads of people tune in, which, you know, the likes of Sky are buying the rights for. Of course, you're like, the club should get it.
The markets dictate that. Yeah. So off they go. I just find it funny because when I was a kid watching football, the footballers played football. Now they all look like they decided not to join a boy band and decided to play football.
Well, sure, Ronaldo has his own underwear line.
That sums it up completely. Acting wise, it can be a double edged sword. Sometimes an actor can come out or an actress can come out and do a drop dead performance and then literally drop off the face of the earth.
Completely.
So they need to maintain that curiosity, don't they? So who jumped out for you now, acting wise?
Actually, I think you have to stretch back 20 years now to Leonardo DiCaprio in What's Eating Gilbert Grape, his first Oscar nomination. He'd been on people's radar through TV shows and stuff like that. I think he'd done, I forget what that was called.
Degrassi or one of those?
I forget.
Okay.
So obviously he was on people's radar then, but at the age of 19, that performance was just absolutely incredible. I obviously saw it, like, I was three or something when it came out, so I definitely didn't see it then. But I remember seeing it when I was about 13 or 14 and just going, oh my God, yeah. Like, that is absolutely incredible. It was just so real. And yeah. just, you wouldn't even think he was acting like, yeah, exactly. in it.
And he stuck his neck out. I mean, that's not a performance that everyone could do or would want to do.
And if you get it wrong, you could totally be up for, you know, the critics can completely take you away for it, for saying you went too far with it, or you, I guess, didn't.
He deserved it an Oscar along the way, didn't he? I mean, I can't believe he hasn't won
an Oscar.
It's
just a running joke now, isn't it? It's like Jim Carrey, though. I think, like, Jim Carrey's never been nominated for an Oscar.
Comedy doesn't win Oscar.
But even not comedy. Eternal Sunshine.
That's true.
Incredible movie. Then you've got, like, The Truman Show, which is, like, one of my favourite movies of all time.
Absolutely correct.
Man on the Moon, which, again.
Yeah.
And we've got Golden Globes for all those.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and every time he just goes
up. The Oscars
up and,
just go, no, we don't do
him. Well, he thanks the Academy every time he wins them.
Where did you saw Lady Gaga?
Lady Gaga, she was on Tour with Tonight.
This is what she was a superstar.
I remember this because it's the first time saw her on TV, and I actually think I saw her walking through these corridors, and like, who is that? I was like, okay, I didn't know her. I wasn't totally aware of her, and I think she was supporting the Pussycat Dolls in the O2 or something like that at the time. And I remember going home and watching the show and being like, whoa, oh my God. And to this day, actually, I've mentioned it to loads of people at this stage. I'm like, you know, that Lady Gaga was on Tour with Tonight.
Yeah.
They're like, no, she wasn't.
She sure was. I remember high-fiving on the corridor saying,
really?
You know, it was Obama was about to be elected or something, so we're going back now.
2008.
There you are. And she said, yeah, high-five for that, and off she went into the disc, did her thing. But she's another one of those. Well, she's super, super star, isn't she?
Yeah, and did you see her and kind of go, this is just another pop kind of drivel? Or did
I'd had word that she was eccentric, crazy, brilliant Madonna of our vintage, of our generation, so I knew we were dealing with something a bit out there.
Yeah.
So, but I didn't, unfortunately, get to have the chats with her.
Yeah,
she was kind of in and running out. I'm afraid. Who else? Well, why don't we talk about? Because you put it out on Twitter, did you? And said,
I put it on Twitter. Got a couple of.
Let's talk to take some of those.
Like Paddy Cullivan there, of course. You know, the man himself,
Paddy.
Getting back and saying when Hozier's backing band on the late September 2013, he said that was a moment for him.
So he knew that too. That's funny. That echoes what I was saying to you. Yeah.
Exactly. Rory Cashin says Tom Hardy in Star Trek Nemesis, which it is an awful film. That is an absolutely, it's like one of the worst movies I've ever seen in my life. But he'd only been acting a year, and even then he was something special.
Yeah.
Fiona says Liam Payne's X Factor audition. He actually was funny enough. He auditioned for the X Factor, I think, like 3 years before. And he was on TV for it, and everybody was kind of like, oh, why is he gone? Where is he gone?
Oh, okay.
And then he came back 3 years later.
That worked out.
Worked out pretty well for him, completely.
These are the kind of thing, the script. Script, of course, is another one that...
And people don't even realise now how big the script are. Like, I have two friends who got in this massive fight last weekend, like a proper fight where someone left their house. They were like, why did the script set out? It's totally because Pharrell was, like, supporting. It's like, no, Pharrell played Marley Park last year and he sold half the tickets. Like, nobody went to see Pharrell. The script are, like, the third biggest band on Spotify in the world, which is a crazy fact.
Big?
Yeah, it's just like, what? And of course they were going to go and sell out, but I don't know if anybody would have seen that they were going to be huge. Do you remember when they were, was it My Town back in the mid-90s?
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure people would not have gone, they are going to be superstars. They're going to sell out Crow Park.
They're going to be big, kid. although I do remember Danny singing We Cry on Double D Tonight and thinking, that is one charismatic guy.
Yeah.
There's more to this. And
this is something completely special. For me, like in terms of artists and stuff, I work on other voices of the music show, Ben and Dingle and stuff, and George Ezra played the tiniest room, like the smallest little room. And everybody was kind of like, whoa, there's just, and maybe it's something, like, something special about the other voices in terms of, like, the church is such a magical place and all that sort of stuff, but he played the tiniest little room at the latest hour on like the Saturday night or something like that, and then 7 months later he played the church, and then 7 months later he has like an album in the UK charts, which is like for 14 weeks number one or something like that.
Talent wins out though.
Exactly, but that's the thing, and well, you hope that's
you
the
hope
thing.
We live in hope. Stephen Byrne, thank you so much for talking to us today about that.
Thank you so much for having me.
We'll talk to you next time.